You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on November 2nd, 2022, and is titled, If My People. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
How about you should live in covenant with God, because the institutions of man that you now rely on to supply all your needs according to their glorious riches will all fail you, destroy you, and eliminate your hope for a future. But in the kingdom of God, everything stands. Nothing's turned upside down. God's education system, perfect. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. He wrote the book and he invented life. God's medical system, the kingdom medical system, is perfect. He heals. He gives longevity of life. God's economy is impeccable. You know why? Because in God's economy, there's no retirement. That's first. Look what we've done in society. We took 65-year-old men and told you, you got to go to pasture, buddy. We talk about that a lot. If you're 65 or over, you just now got smart enough to be some good to somebody. You done been acid tested 3, 4, 5 times. You know what it is over the top of the hill. You'd be some of the best youth leaders there were in America. For those that don't have fathers, a substitute grandfather would be perfect. But no, we don't take all that away. But in God's economy, he doesn't do that. You never get off the bus. You never get to just quit. You are who you are, and you stay that away forever. It never changes. It's called dwelling in the kingdom of God now. I can't ever emphasize that enough, because that's not how this Bible's taught in America today. Yet more so, the more people come to reality. So I want to talk about that right here out of 2 Chronicles 7. We're just real quick, I'm going to read down through here starting in verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, he'd been in prayer there in chapter 6. And I can't do all of that, but you need to read 6, 7, and 8. There's a lot in there. And when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Stop right there if you want to. Stay here for a month. Who's the temple? Where's the temple? How many of y'all grew up thinking that coming to town, you'd go to the temple? See? That's a lie. Who's the temple? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? When's the last time fire fell on your temple? Because in Acts chapter 2, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what did they see, Alan? Tongues of fire. Have you seen tongues of fire? Yes, sir, us down there, we. You seen tongues of fire? You seen the glory? How many of us have been told we could chase the glory? May have y'all ever stopped long enough to realize the glory was chasing you? That's good stuff. Now that gives me chilly willy bumps. Glory is chasing you. You see, in Solomon's temple's a foreshadowing of who we are today. When you pull from this under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it's a depiction of who we are today. When he had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. Why? Because that's exactly what Jesus did. He put an end to all sacrifice and burnt offering. One sacrifice, one time for all mankind, sins past, present, and future. All covered by the blood of the Messiah. One time. Never to be done again. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled Lord's house. Wow. I may not get through this tonight. I'm just sitting here realizing one of the places I've fallen short as I travel all over the United States doing my little horse sale gig. I give good little devotionals and testimony. We out of towners while we were sitting down to eat come over and shook my hand tonight and met me because they watched Coffee with the Colonel. Yeah, we're lighting the board with Coffee with the Colonel. I think I've made myself unapproachable because I'm right all the time. I should be unapproachable because the glory of God is fearful to man. Last time you heard that, well, you were sitting in a pile. If the glory of the Lord is revealed in the temple, then how do I die to myself enough that the glory of the Lord becomes fearful? Because at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, if you'll read the first chapters of Acts, God scared the crud out of everybody that wasn't in on the deal. Y'all think that the world out there today that believes everything the opposite of you, wants everything different than you, turning everything that you believe in and everything you paid for into something you don't like, do you think they have any regard for your Christianity? Any respect for your Christianity? Any fear of your presence? Now, Robin and I realize it every now and then. We, at these different events we go to, one thing is for sure, the preacher and his wife will screw up a really good party. It's just hard to have a good time while you're hiding your stuff, you know? It's just, we just mess it up for everybody, not on purpose. But really, we all get in our little neutral corners over here one day a week. Nobody knows we're there. Nobody knows when we come home. But the priests, they couldn't even go in the temple. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the glory of God was just too much. And he said then, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the faces on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good and his mercy endures forever." How many of y'all would like to see people in your own homes fall on their face and worship the Lord, saying, "For he is good and his mercy endures forever"? I mean, y'all think that would be a blessing in your life, that you can think of somebody right now that you'll encounter this week, that if that happened, it would light you up. When's the last time you did it? I don't want to answer that question. I don't want to answer that question. Then the kings and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered sacrifice 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. I guarantee you bulls and sheep wasn't bringing in what they're bringing now, or he'd have trimmed that up a little bit. That's a lot of do-re-mi right there, buddy. And the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priests attended to their services, and Levites, and the instruments, and music, and they were having church. His mercy endures forever. And David offered praise by their ministry, and the priests sounded the trumpets, and Israel stood. And then furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offering, the grain offerings, and the fat. You're not going to like what God just told me. Mm. We're supposed to be a living sacrifice. We're the offering to God. That's what the Bible says. Most of us leave the best of us outside. We won't lay it down for real. And if we do, it's a half-hearted attempt because we believe in man-made altars. Solomon's altar was a man-made altar. But to bow our knee before the living God, wherever that is, whenever that is, and however that is, then it's real. Then it's real. Not to say that some of the things that happen around here aren't real. I get it. You meet with Jesus anywhere, even here. But now I'm telling you today that we've been generationally inundated with man-made altars. Man-made coercion. We've had false senses of humility, yet walk in a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. We've done it for so long, it had to be right. I'll say we, because I ain't no different to the rest of y'all. I've come out a little quicker than some and found a way to mess everybody else's life up, but this is the truth. If we're going to be a living sacrifice, it only begins when you bow your knee. The sacrifice happens when you stand up and you become the hands and feet. You become the voice of one crying out in the desert. You're the possessor of the anointing. You're the Ark of the Covenant. You speak the very words of God because they're etched on your hearts and your minds because of the covenant you're in. You've digested and feasted on the Word of God, that the word of the God in John 14:26, it says that I will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I said. How much recollection can Jesus do in you? How much word has been etched in your life that Jesus can recall and bring to mind and direct your steps? How much of this word has been put in you that the voice of God resonates in you and is confirmed by the word without having to call somebody or know somebody? God speaks his very word over you. These are all very serious things for the church. This is who the church is. Not what the church does. This is who the church is. And he says right here, then verse 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer. I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, the judgments of God. When I put judgment on your land, then we come into verse 14 here in just a second. But first of all, he said, I heard your prayer and I've chosen this place for myself. This is really good. What happens when you decide you want to be saved? What's the normal prayer? Jesus, come into my heart. Romans 10:9-10. It's a fact, not a prayer, but we made it a prayer. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't. The man's salvation is between you and God, and it's only signified by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's just the fact. However you make that happen, however that happens between you and God. But listen to this. I want you to listen to this as though you just asked Jesus to save your soul. I heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself. This is really good stuff. I heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself. For myself as a house of sacrifice. Now, before I go any further, without any answers, who or what rules your life? When we've been trained through our religion that God is in control because he's a master puppeteer way up here, I just ask you to check yourself for the fish wires. You're here because you wanted to be, and there's others not here because they didn't want to be. You get to do what you want to do. Is he providential? Yes. That means he's a guardian. He's father. He watches over us. He intervenes. He creates options. He can move the chessboard around, but you still get to, you get to choose. So, as a house of sacrifice, who rules me? That's really hard in the world we live in. Do you weigh your options according to the finances? We all have to make money, pay the bills. I've heard guys tell me how blessed they were because they were trying to stuff 6 cars in a 5-car garage. I don't want to know how blessed you are. I need to ask myself, how obedient am I? Will I make one choice, one move that's the right thing to do, but it will cost me a lot? Those are all tests that we all get to do. Some I succeed at, some I fail miserably. But to ask myself, what and who rules me? Because that's my God. Now, who directs your steps? Who tells you when you're naughty or nice? Your religion? Or the voice of the shepherd? See, that's very important before we get to this next part. Because when we get to this next part, verse 14, is not talking about the United States of America. He addresses a certain group. If my people, who are called by my name, is Jesus calling you? Have you heard him call you? What's he calling you? What's he calling you to do? What's the Lord say about you, to you? They're all great questions. You see, the only way to hear the voice of God is to be possessed. Not to possess. That would mean I own him. This is really good. Well, I possess the Holy Spirit. Really, you own him? No, buddy, it's the other way around. The Holy Spirit should possess you. He should rule. He is God. You see, here's another thing that we... How many of y'all grew up, and you don't have to have it, I'll see it on your faces. This Trinity thing. How many of y'all have ever had trouble with the Trinity thing? How many of y'all are pretty sure that God is a big white guy with a hairy face, and he's sitting on this huge lawn chair on a cloud someplace? And over here on his right-hand side is a guy that looks like he's been bleeding with a crown of thorns on his head and been riding around on a jackass. Now he's over here to the right. And then we got this dude that looks like Casper the Friendly Ghost, and he's just kind of swooping around all over the world. He's the Holy Spirit. God in three persons. Yeah, he's God. The Bible says that God is spirit. The Bible said that they, the three persons of God, hovered over the expanse of the earth in the very beginning, before there was anything created. One person. Three characters. Spirit. That spirit put on our clothes and came to this earth through the woman, just how God planned creation. Pregnated by the Holy Spirit. And for 33 and a half years, God walked around like us. And then he left. And when he left, to some, he still kind of looked like he looked. And to others, he couldn't figure it out. It didn't matter if you were all the Marys in town, you thought he looked like a gardener. If you're a couple guys walking on the road to Emmaus, you kind of thought he looked like a stranger. Who knows what he looked like? But I'll guarantee you one thing, anybody in this building, I dare you to walk through them doors without making them open. Get you a run at it. Jesus did it. And then ate a piece of fish. God is spirit. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And Ephesians 1:13-14 said, when I heard the gospel of my salvation and believed, I was marked in him with the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit made in me. That marked me as his people. You marked? We've talked about this in our Bible studies several months ago. You know, when all you got all this junk going on in the earth, and really we ain't got much going on in the earth. Somebody said diesel's going to go up. Ain't nobody hung you upside down for saying the name of Jesus yet, so just hang on to your shorts. Yeah, you're okay. Everybody, well, mark of the beast, mark of the beast, mark of the beast. How many of y'all been worried about the mark of the beast? But you've been going to church since Moby Dick was a man, and nobody asked you about the mark of God. I mean, come on, man. If I bear the mark of God, what beast? What beast? The one that Jesus stomped on his cotton picking head on his way to Calvary? That ankle biter? The devil's an ankle biter. Don't be fearful of an ankle biter. What about the mark of God? We left that out of the equation. Well, I prayed the prayer. I blew the snot. I got in the water. I got wet. I got dry. I took communion. I've been here and I've been there and I've been. No, it's the mark. You know my problem? I think there's people out in the world today that don't know Jesus. They can't see my mark either. I think that's my problem. Y'all may not have that problem, but I got that problem. And I'm the preacher guy. That's why I told you at the beginning, not much difference between me and y'all. Not much at all. I got the same problem when we go outside. If my people, called by my name, will humble themselves. That part, that humble yourself stuff, that's the part that's been going on with me for 2 months here. It's been messing up my game. I didn't know what that meant. Find a new holy respect for God's word and find a respect for his humanity, whether you agree with him or not. Humble myself. Realize that it's only the humble that'll be exalted. To make myself approachable, and when I'm buried in my religion, that's impossible. But to humble myself, realizing that Jesus has made me different than everybody else, but not better than everybody else.
I'm getting a pretty good working over up here, I'll just tell you right now.
Yeah. This is the truth. You have to look at the country and the things we love. And you got to ask yourself, why is it like it is?
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.